This guy makes a living flipping everything from sex toys to coffins.
Money-saving tips from the savvy reporters at MarketWatch.com. This is Money, Markets, and More.
I'm Katie Hill.
And I'm Quentin Futrell. You're listening to Money, Markets, and More, where we talk about the most fascinating personal finance stories of the week. This is interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I had never thought about liquidating sex toys, coffins.
Right, because all of these stores that go out of business, these big department stores, you know, people aren't going to malls as much anymore and people are shopping more online. And there are deals to be had out there for customers. But also, sometimes people go to these stores and they're like, where's all the good stuff? Well, there's an answer to that, Katie Hill. The good stuff has been taken by the liquidators, or in this case, the liquidator.
Jeff Schwartz.
Only his mother calls him Jeffrey.
Yeah, I let that go every once in a while, but yes. Sometimes Jeffrey gets me good deals, though, when I say I'm Jeffrey Schwartz instead of Jeff Schwartz.
I bet you just got back from Palm Springs, so you must be making a pretty penny going to these stores. Tell us what it is you do.
Well, basically, yeah, I've been doing this business for about 25 years now. And unlike when people go on holiday to Europe or, you know, they travel to Paris, they see the Eiffel Tower, I'm walking around looking at stores that are kind of looking like they need a little bit of help. So, I kind of look for opportunities to buy product. We had a Target in Canada, for example, last year. They came up here. They moved really quickly. They had 120 stores. And they realized Canada is such a large country with such a small population. You would appear that I think they went a little bit too aggressive to get into the market share so quickly. So they said, okay, they put all the inventory in and they tried to do a sale. And they wanted to get out of their leases quickly. They wanted to leave out of Canada kind of sort of with the tail between their legs, but at the same time with dignity, pay off all the landlords, et cetera. So what the most likely corporate offices decided to do is they said, okay, we'll start getting rid of this stuff, but we need to move this stuff fast. So on the store level, what you see is nothing compared to what they had in warehouses across the country. So, you know, when we heard about it, and of course it was made public news, everybody sort of went in there and said, okay, how do you capitalize on this? And then where do you go next? So, you know, they may have 20 barbecues in each store, but they have a warehouse where another 500 barbecues are sitting. And yeah, they know they're going to take a hit. They know they're going to lose money. But that's one of the things that, you know, we focused on last year. We're picking up whatever we can, whether it's their perfumes to their barbecues to their furniture. And then not only that, they had orders sitting in Asia of product that they'd already prepaid for. And we, for example, bought some branded houseware. And their cost was about $75,000 FOB, meaning that they paid $75,000 for four trailers sitting in China. Now, you got freight, duty, and everything else. By the time that's another $20,000 just in freight. Well, we bought all four trailers for $20,000, basically just covered the freight charge.
So you got a huge discount, Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, we get a huge discount. It's like a large apparel company that goes into a big box retailer. They'll produce, say, a running shoe line. You know, they'll go into Costco. They'll run, say, Adidas running shoes for 2 weeks, and then that's it. Hunter boots, for example, they may get a line on that. A lot of vendors frown on Costco because they feel the brand gets diminished. But what happens is Costco might not sell that whole program, and the vendors who have the leftover inventory, they say, you know what, we got them sitting in storage. We got, you know, 300 pairs left or 2,000 pairs left. Then they call us up, and they'll say, okay, well, you know, Costco is going out at $19.99. You know, we sold the Costco for $15. What are you going to give us? Well, depending on the product, we'll tell the guy $5. We'll pay for it today. Out the door it goes, and then we take it back and remerchandise it. Today's day and age, you know, there's so many small businesses, people trying to open up clothing stores, et cetera, or whatever it is that they want to do. With the online stuff, Amazon is so powerful. I mean, look at the profitability of Amazon. There's the amount of sales they're doing. I mean, everything's
amazing.
Online. So if there's not a need for your product anymore, what are you going to do when you got a small store in the middle of nowhere that can't compete because he's not getting the buying power like the big guys do?
He's going to sell it to you,
so
isn't
unfortunately,
he?
Unfortunately, that's what we do. We sort of walk in there.
He's going to sell it to you. And I was sort of amazed by some of the unusual products that you picked up, Jeff. Like you had, wait a second, here's a really funny one. So you once bought 100,000 pickled peppers, 40,000 dildos, and 40,000 sets of women's lingerie that weren't packaged properly. What the Haley Joel Osment?
Well, the funny thing about the pickled peppers The guy had not only pickled peppers, but he also had pianos. Now, go figure, by, you know, a guy telling you this over an interview or over the phone, it's all live. I mean, we actually were fortunate enough to actually film that. So what happened was there was a warehouse distribution center, and he had about 40 or 50 pianos, some stools, and a bunch of pickled peppers. The pickled peppers were left over from a guy that, you know, he didn't pay his storage, so he says, you know, get rid of these. You want to buy these? What about these pianos? Sure, I'll take the pianos, too. What about this? So, yes, we went in there, had these pickled peppers, bought the pianos. Most of the pianos were beat up and thrashed, but there was still some piano benches, and there was a couple there that were okay. And, yeah, so the guy says, I just want to get this stuff out of here. I got tenants that are going to pay for my distribution. And I think we bought the whole deal for $3,500.
Wow.
Flipped all the pickers. I can't even say it properly.
Jeffrey Schwartz, the liquidator, flipped a pack of pickled peppers. I got to say, that's amazing. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I'm Veronica Dagger, and I want to retire rich. How about you? Then listen to the Watching Your Wealth podcast. We'll help you get there. For more information, check us out at WSJ.com/podcast and find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and now Spotify.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
And we're back with Jeff Schwartz, known as the liquidator, because he goes to the store warehouses before they close to get all of the really good swag that we as consumers often miss when we go to those closing down sales. And that's really one of the most interesting takeaways for me. And also, Jeff, you also had a TV show in Canada called The Liquidator. So they followed you around getting all these amazing bargains.
That's right. The Liquidator aired for 5 seasons or 91 episodes. We actually hit about 160 countries around the world. We did some filming down in California. We were in India, Indonesia, and it was quite interesting. I was doing first off, I'm going to understand our show. This is the only unstaged show that you're ever going to find. So when we flew to India, we basically flew there with a camera crew. We said, okay, we're here for 8 days, figure something out. And I'll never forget, I'm standing on a street corner, literally. I bought some, actually what they're called, what do you call those things? Those puppets where you control them, marionettes or whatever they are called. Yeah, I guess that's
sure.
Anyway, I bought these things and I said, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to sell these on the street corner. So I set up a booth and I started selling these things, and I didn't realize that these were actually marionettes, that they weren't actually finished. So I bought them off the guy for a good deal. And here I am standing downtown New Delhi, camera crew watching, and I'm pitching and selling these things, and I'm getting my ass kicked. Interesting enough, this guy sees me in Delhi and he walks over and he goes, you're the liquidator. I watch your show in England. Come here for a second, because you're not selling. I go, yeah, this is a tough market. He says, try it this way. You're in your neighborhood. You have the control. You need to take them and make them want to buy. You have to come here with an attitude. So sure enough, I went out there and I said, you don't want to buy this? No problem. So it was more ego. Hit the ego. And I tell you what, for the next 3 days in India, I went and bought saris. I took it to a small village, and I'm selling saris, literally. You know, I think my investment was, I don't know, 50,000 rupee. So here I'm standing in a village in the middle of nowhere selling saris. And I tell you what, as soon as this one woman came up to me, she says, I'm not paying you more than 200 rupee. And I paid 300 for the thing. I'm like, I tell you what, here's the sari. Take them free and leave me alone. She says, what do you mean, take them free? If my saris aren't good enough and a guy of my class and my standard is in your village, then you can have them. The next thing you know, I sold literally 150, 200 saris, all at 400 rupee each. And I was like, wow, you know.
Well, that's standing behind your product. That's standing behind your product, Jeff. And it's, I mean, you're doing a public service. You're helping people tie up their loose ends, I suppose. What is the strangest product you've ever bought at a huge discount from a closing down sale?
It's really hard to say. I mean, this one chocolate company, they sell chocolates and, you know, the various oils and vinegars and all sorts of spices, et cetera, et cetera. So basically they said, you know, we got some crackers, you know, past dated, close dated, meaning that it's, you know, close to expiry. So we bought these crackers, we bought the oil, you know, and then they had literally 100,000 pumpkins. And I get asked, what do you mean pumpkin? Well, they weren't real. They were styrofoam pumpkins. And I didn't realize how many they had. And the first trailer of these bloody pumpkins show up, And, you know, I'm sitting there going, what the hell am I going to do with these things? I'm throwing them around the place. And next thing you know, this guy comes in. He says, I'll buy your pumpkins. So I paid like $2,500, sold them all the pumpkins for $3,000. And about a week or two later, the guy calls me up and he says, you have some pumpkins? Yeah, I sold them all. He says, I need pumpkins. I said, what do you mean you need pumpkins? These are fake pumpkins. I need these pumpkins. So I actually phoned the guy that I sold the pumpkins to, bought the pumpkins back, and resold the pumpkins to this guy. And the guy's like, what did you originally, that doesn't matter what I sold them for. Are you happy? He says, yeah, we need these pumpkins for a movie set that we're doing up in a small town, and it's perfect because they're not going to rot. So, yeah, you know.
You always need pumpkins, Jeff, whether it's for a movie set or to make a nice pumpkin squash. Let me ask you another question. One time you held onto a stock of 200 bamboo coffins.
I love this.
For months. But wait a minute. Halloween rolled around, and they flew off the shelves.
Yes, they did.
What do they want the coffins for? For parties?
People use them for all kinds of party favors. I mean, these things were bamboo coffins. I mean, who in the hell would have thought? I mean, I didn't know that people use bamboo coffins. I guess it's the cheapest way to bury them. But yeah, Halloween rolled around. We put stuff inside of them, and they were flying out the door. You know, we actually even rented some. You know, regret actually selling them. But the problem is that when, and there's something else. I mean, when's the best time to buy Halloween outfits? November the 1st. You know, so you take a deal like that, and they always have these Halloween pop-up stores, and you know they were buying them like crazy, and yeah, so it's all timing too. I got lucky, you know.
Jeff Schwartz, the liquidator who finds the deals that other people miss. Thank you so much for joining us today on Money Markets and More. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's show.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.